Many Christian leaders and ministries are taking a bold stand to declare 2020 as the year of the Bible. Bethany Christian Services, an organization that helps vulnerable children, is one of them. I had the privilege of speaking to Bethany's Ted Anselet about the company's involvement in the Year of the Bible movement. We had a lot of fun talking about the Word of God, and I think you'll enjoy this episode, even if the sound seems a little different since it was recorded on my cell phone. So let's dive into this fun interview. Welcome to the Charisma News Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Rose Spaudo, Online News Director at Charisma, and I have a very special guest on the phone with me today. His name is Ted Anselet, and he's the National Director of Spiritual Empowerment at Bethany Christian Services. So, Ted, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Jenny. It's great to be here.
And listeners, we were just talking, Ted and I, before we got started. It is so appropriate that he's the director of, what was it, Spiritual Empowerment, because yeah. His first name is not Ted. His first name is Polycarp. Is that right?
That is 100% correct.
But he goes by Ted because Polycarp, you know, it's kind of hard to have on the driver's license, of course. But
exactly.
We were just saying that's such a cool namesake because he was such a great man of God. And listeners, for those of you who don't know, Polycarp was in the early church. He was a father in the faith, and he was even martyred for his faith. And they didn't even have bonds on him when he was being burned at the stake. He just stood there with the power and the strength of the Lord. And I just think that's such a neat namesake to have. So, Ted, that's wonderful.
Yes, yes. You know, I can remember growing up not really knowing very much about who Polycarp was and then learning. And as you said, he's an early church father. He was actually a disciple of John the Apostle.
Yeah.
And was the bishop at the Church of Smyrna, which is mentioned in the book of Revelation. So to think that, you know, when John wrote that letter, that he would have been one of the ones to receive it and to read it to his congregation and to explain it to them and to encourage them in the Lord to stand strong and then to personify that in the way that he did in his martyrdom. It's humbling, and it's definitely a great conversation piece too.
Absolutely. And I think it's so appropriate that we're going to be talking today about the year of the Bible, because a lot of people, a lot of ministries are actually jumping on board with calling 2020 the year of the Bible. And now y'all's ministry, Bethany Christian Services, is kind of jumping in and supporting that. So why don't we just talk about that? Ted, can you tell me, what is the deal with this year of the Bible?
I would love to. So the Year of the Bible is a movement in 2020 to make this year the most Bible-engaged year in history. I mean, as you know, Jenny, millions of people have access to the Word of God now in their own language. And especially for us in the States, we not only have in our own language, we have multiple translations, multiple formats to choose from. I mean, just think about it. We can simply download an app to our smartphone, right?
Yeah.
And through doing that, I have access to translations. I have commentaries. I have studies. And from a historical perspective, it really is a pretty amazing time when you think about it from a biblical perspective. And the good news is that with this new age of biblical access, more people can engage with the scriptures more often and more easily than ever before. But I think that what's key is making sure that we translate that access to the word into engagement in the word. And so what the Year of the Bible movement is really all about, it's about encouraging those with access to engage and to make biblical reading part of their regular everyday routines.
Absolutely. And that's so important because I don't know about you, but I've definitely had moments when I've just read the word, but I wasn't engaged with it.
Yes.
You know, like it kind of just slid by me and I'm like, wait, I just read a full chapter. What did I just read?
Exactly.
So I'm so excited that the church and you and a lot of these ministries are really focusing on engaging with the Word of God. So tell me more about Bethany's involvement with this movement.
Well, so what we're doing is we're promoting the Year of the Bible both internally with our staff, as well as within our spheres of influence via social media and the newsletters that we produce. So what we're doing is we're encouraging our staff and our board members, our partners, our friends of the ministry, if you will, to get involved and sign the I Read the Bible Declaration at yearofthebible.com. And we're also producing and releasing monthly scriptural devotionals to our Bethany community, again, via social media and through our newsletters to, as you said, foster engagement. Like you said just a moment ago, right? It's just so easy. We live in a world that's so filled with distractions. And to be able to have something that kind of anchors us a little bit and helps us to not just merely read, but really engage what God is speaking to us through his word is really important. It's an important part of who we are at Bethany, and it's something that we want to support and something that we would love for, again, our partners in ministry as well as our staff to be a part of.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that Bethany is a Christian organization. It even says it in the name, Bethany Christian Services. But how does that change or set apart your internal structures from other nonprofits that are doing kind of similar things to what you guys are doing?
It's a really great question. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't had too much interaction with other nonprofits in our field to be real, to be able to really compare accurately, you know, how we do it versus how others do it. But I can share a little bit about how we seek to integrate our faith into what we do. And as you know, according to Christ himself, there is no greater display of our faith than the way that we relate to each other. One of Jesus's most clear expressions of this is actually in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. So our greatest witness to the world is not even necessarily what we do, though, of course, that's very important.
Yeah.
But it's actually how we treat each other. So as a Christian organization, we try to be very intentional in encouraging and equipping our staff to love others well, both internally and externally. This is really our goal for our spiritual empowerment department at Bethany.
Gotcha. So then what about your role specifically? What do you do? What's your background at Bethany?
Oh, that's well, I've been with Bethany for almost 8 years now. And my role is basically the support of the spiritual engagement of our staff. And so over those last 8 years, my main focus has been to cultivate a culture of peace within Bethany through developing and leading internal trainings in biblical conflict resolution and peacemaking. As I mentioned, Jesus said the hallmark of his disciples will be how we love one another. And so as a Christian organization, we want to be intentional about loving each other well. And the work that we do can be very stressful, and it can be quite difficult and emotionally, mentally, spiritually demanding. So as an organization, we want to make sure that we're not only focused external to those that we're serving and ministering to, but that as a staff, we're taking care of each other and that we're loving each other well, because that's what Jesus has commanded. And again, in Matthew, Jesus is very clear that as when we respond to each other and to others and as peacemakers, that that's when we resemble most closely his being his children. And so, internally, that's what my role has been, to support that, to provide training as well as to provide coaching and anything I can do to help staff just to live out peacemaking in everything that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like Bethany kind of has a bit of history there with spiritual empowerment, right? This isn't like a new thing.
No.
Can you tell me about that history?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting the way the way we got started. Again, I started about 8 years ago, and Bethany has been a Christian organization since its inception. So there's always been an element of intentionality when it comes to who we are, identity, and the work that we do. And about 8 years ago when I came on, I came originally on to help support a program we were doing in Ethiopia. We had helped launch the first foster to adopt program in that country. And when I originally came on, we began developing a training program for the foster parents that, again, was grounded in peacemaking. There's part of my heart and my own personal experience, my own walk with Christ, is I've just seen that the most sincere expression of the gospel is in my own life and in the lives of those that I have opportunity to minister with and to. The most sincere expression of the gospel is peacemaking. It's loving well, even in the midst of conflict. And so we developed a program for that, and we do a lot of different things internally for those that we minister and work with. And then as we got started with that particular program, our leadership team recognized that if we really want to be vessels of peace for others, then we have to be intentional about being peacemakers internally. And so since that time, that's when we began leading trainings internally and providing opportunities for our staff to learn these skills, to practice these skills, to talk about them. And the idea is, again, it really is to empower and equip our staff to not only experience Christ, you know, in their walk in faith with their church bodies and with their kind of external, if you will, faith family, but to begin to even see how our faith integrates us into a faith family, even in what we do here at Bethany.
Wow, I love that so much. I love you guys, y'all's emphasis on building up, not just presenting your image of faith, but also building up the faith of those who work for the company. That's just so crucial.
It really is.
From talking to other people who work for Bethany, I know you guys do a lot of different kinds of work with children helping families. So can you share with our listeners today a little bit more about how Bethany's work is tied to faith?
Absolutely. So at Bethany, to be honest, our faith is the basis for why we do what we do. The scriptures directly call us as Christians to care for orphans, to care for vulnerable children, and to care for foreigners seeking refuge in our land. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of James chapter 1, Exodus chapter 23. In these places, God has singled out his people to be, again, ambassadors of his mercy and grace and goodness and peace. And so all of our services at Bethany can really be summed up in one phrase. We seek to bring peace to those who don't know peace and to see people progress from merely surviving to thriving. We don't hand out Bibles to the people that we help as an organization, but we do practice being the hands and feet of Jesus, demonstrating through action the principles that are outlined in the Bible to everyone that God brings to us, whether that's the child in foster care or the refugee family from Venezuela. I think for us, the thing is, it's hard to be the hands and feet of Jesus if we internally are not intentionally strengthening our personal relationship with him. So we believe we do this by, again, getting to know him through learning and studying his life and his words that are preserved for us in the scriptures.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, because I know a lot of time, especially with all the social media and all this, all the YouTube and stuff out there, we can easily look up sermons. We can read commentaries. We can read other people's words about the Bible. But for some reason, we're having a harder time actually digging into the Bible itself. So can you tell me, what is the power difference, really, or the impact of reading scripture itself instead of just listening to what other people are saying about the Bible?
Yeah, it's such a really good point to bring up. And I think it's sometimes, again, in our day and time where we have so much access to so much information that we can kind of live under the false guise of kind of multitasking, right? Well, I can listen to this while I'm doing this. And what ends up happening is we end up dividing our attention and watering down both things. And I think, as you know, listening to sermons and reading commentaries and even listening to the Bible itself, those are important for our spiritual growth. But those are not replacements for personally engaging the Bible through reading and study.
Right.
When we read something, especially the Bible, it requires us to be fully engaged in that task in that moment. One of my mentors when I was younger had a favorite saying. He would always say, the scriptures are intended to slow you down. And that is exactly what reading the Bible does. It slows us down. Mm-hmm. Modern life moves fast, often way too fast. And we end up feeling stretched thin and just worn out. So reading the scriptures forces us to slow down. And in doing so, it connects us with our Creator. It opens our souls to his love and his grace and his mercy. Hearing can't. Again, it's not that we want to stop listening to things, but there's something very special about how our mind and our body and our soul engages with reading the text that I think it's just irreplaceable.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's so true. Now, I know that Bethany as an organization is really focused on helping, like you said, the orphans and the widows, because that's what the Word of God says. But as you were pointing out, the Word of God isn't just about organizations doing this work. It calls all believers to do this work,
it does.
To pour out our finances, our time, our energy, to serve others who are in need. So talk to me a little bit about how Christians, instead of just waiting for organizations to do all the work, how can we as believers use our time and our money the way the Bible tells us to?
It is so important. I'm so thankful that you brought that up, because I think, you know, when we look at the world externally and we see the brokenness, and we see the hurt, and we see the need, it can be really easy to be overwhelmed by it, to kind of almost think we need a big organization to come and help us and walk along and do these things. And the organizations like Bethany are important and they play a role. But in many ways, I think an organization is only as strong as its individual members. There's still something very personal about being intimately involved in what God is doing in the world around us. And like as you said, the Bible says a lot about it. I mean, the first passage that comes to mind is Matthew chapter 6 in verses 19 through 21. Jesus says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. All the things we collect in this world are passing away. None of it goes with us when we die. When we get to heaven, the only things we bring with us are the relationships we make here on earth. So to invest our lives, and I'm speaking our as an individual, to invest our individual lives in others, especially those in need, that's storing up treasures in heaven. Those are the things that no matter what else happens, no matter how bad our day goes, no matter how crazy our lives may turn left or right, those investments are the things that when we get to heaven, we have the incredible joy of hearing our Father say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's the one thing that can keep me going, is just to know that all of this insanity at times, or all this craziness is not, there's no way that it can erase the simple gestures of love and compassion to those around me. And we can do those in any moment. We don't have to have a special time. It's just having eyes to see and ears to hear how God is moving around us.
Yes. And I love that you bring that up, because I feel like when we actually engage the Bible, it kind of takes over our lives. Like, it's not just in that hour in the morning when we're reading the Bible, it starts popping up all day long.
Yes.
In every decision that you make, and every thought that you think, and every word that you say to other people. So I'm just so grateful that you guys are joining into this movement and encouraging others to join with it. Which actually brings me to my last question to you, which is, how can our listeners today get involved in this movement?
I would recommend anyone that wants to do it to head over to yearofthebible.com, sign the declaration, and join us on our journey. We are going to be, as I mentioned, we're going to be posting monthly devotionals via our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So you can use those. So many wonderful other organizations are joining in as well. And so I think the place it starts is go to the website and sign up for the declaration. That said, I would also say, more importantly, kind of picking up on what you just mentioned, put what you read in the Bible into action.
Yeah.
Whether that's through prayer or financial generosity or giving of your times and talents through service, reading is intended to move us to action. That's why the Lord preserved his incredible wisdom and guidance for us, is so that we would, exactly as you said, we'd have a new mindset, that our minds would be transformed, that we would know what he is calling us to do at any given moment, and we would move. For us at Bethany, I mean, we've developed world-class programs that empower individuals to have an impact on the world and truly change someone's life. So through the services that we provide, we're able to bring, again, peace to those who are currently experiencing disorder and a lack of peace, and help them grow and flourish. So if you're looking for a place to engage, please head over to Bethany.org. You can learn more about our programs as well. But more than anything, I think the key is to exercise the discipline to just get into God's word, And then after you read it, pray how God can then live it out through you as you go about your day.
Yeah, that is so awesome. And I hope this doesn't take you off guard, but would you actually mind closing us in prayer?
No, I would absolutely love to. Thanks. Thank you for the time to be able to share this. Again, as you can tell, Bethany, we're really excited about this and excited about the opportunity. And it's a blessing to be able to share about it. So how about I pray for us?
That'd be great.
Father, in this moment, we just want to pause and recognize the great gift that we have to come to you as our Father. Lord, there was a time when we were separated, broken in darkness. Eight, unmatchable love. You reached through time, space, and eternity. You birthed us again and brought us into your family. Lord, you have given us a new name. You have given us a new family to belong to. You have called us your own, and you have now asked us to call you our own. So thank you, Father, for bringing us into this new life that you've given us. And God, thank you that you don't only invite us into this life for us to be able to call you Father and to know you in that way, but God, you've also, in doing so, made us brothers and sisters of each other. And so, Lord, as we look to this coming year, thank you for preserving your truths for us in your word. And I pray that God, everyone listening to this, including even myself, God, that this would be a year of moving past mere reading and into full engagement in what you have for us in the word. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us access to it. And we just pray for ourselves and for anyone that might be listening, that Lord, that you would use your word in mighty and powerful ways to break bonds, to set people free, and God, to awaken them to the vision and mission that you have for them to have an eternal impact right where they are. So thank you for these opportunities, Lord. Thank you for Jesus who makes it all possible. And God, thank you for this opportunity and this time just to talk about you, to reflect on what you've done and are doing. And God, we pray we would just be good stewards of all the things that you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I loved that. Such a strong prayer. Well, Ted, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was amazing, everything you shared.
Oh, it was so wonderful. Thank you so much, Sonia. And I hope you have a fantastic day.
Thank you. And listeners, I really hope that you feel as encouraged by this interview as I did. It was really uplifting for me, so I think it was for you too. And be sure to tune in next time to the Charisma News Podcast.